Maybe. Hey, good evening. This is the 5 a.m. late night edition. It's about 11:31 p.m. on a Friday night, and cheers to you all. It's a Friday night. You made it through the week. Maybe we should do this regular thing. This morning was very busy. A lot of things going on, a lot of unexpected stuff. So didn't get to do the early morning show or 5 a.m. Master Scrum show. And this is our 591st episode of the show. And I'm Greg Messer, Scrum Master and Agile Coach. And today I'm going to talk about a couple things. One, we're going to do fortune cookies. I had to go to the store, and that's one of the reasons why I didn't do the thing too. I had to go to the store when I had an opportunity and buy some fortune cookies. You know, this is only $2 for this whole bag. So how many episodes I got out of $2 props, right? And then I got a drink. We're going to talk about why does Agile and Scrum have so much to do with drinking? And that's just something happened today. I'll talk about that today. But most of all, we're going to talk about enterprise transformation, talk about like the step four that I have for enterprise transformation. That's metrics. Metrics and base mechanics is the step four for an Agile transformation. And so what we're going to talk about tonight, late night edition, instead of a 5 a.m. in the morning show. And we do this so you can bring value to the customer, get home to your family and friends, have a good night, maybe enjoy a drink with your neighbors when you get a chance, and relax a little bit, enjoy life, right? And not work crazy hours and do some crazy stuff and have some fun, right? So first off, I want to talk about, and we're going to do the fortune cookie Friday thing last. It was funny. And everybody talks about the Agile Manifesto. And I didn't put that on the title, but the Agile Manifesto. And I'm like, they all go out and drink and they decide they want to come up with this manifesto and how they want to work and what they want to do. And a lot of times I'm like, what's with all this drinking? And I always think about that. I always thought about them. And then today I show a video. Actually, it was yesterday. Is it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday. I show a video to a bunch of managers about retrospectives. One is Jeff Sutherland's video and how he talks about retrospective. And one is Angie, I think it was Zuckerman. And she talks about taking everybody out drinking. I'm like, oh God, drinking. What's with the obsession with drinking with Agile? Everybody loosens up and enjoys life, I guess, when they go out and have a drink, go to the pub. And then it was funny. Someone posted up on the post I had this morning about, deadlines. There's even natural deadlines like tides, because I'm watching the ship. If you look at my video that I post up there, little 15, 30-minute, 30-second video, the ship has to wait in the river, the Delaware River, because the tide's out. Has to sit there and he's gonna wait for the tide to come in before he tries to go upriver. So everything has deadlines, and people are always going to do deadlines. Some deadlines happen all the time. So anyway, I just thought it was funny, and I wanted to, cheers. I was having a single malt scotch with my neighbors and trying something different, and it's just something different, Figure why not? And then I'm also toast to everybody on a Friday night and enjoy. I'm probably like, oh God, what's he doing? But anyway, but I just thought it was ironic. You watch these videos and they talk about take everybody to the bar and have a drink. I'm like, oh God, we got to worry about HR and driving home drunk and all. The one thing about the virtual thing that you can do, like my wife and her group did, they did do cocktails during the when everybody's working remotely, where they would just get together once a month and bring their own favorite cocktail. Someone would make it mixed drink on Zoom and show everybody how to make the cocktail, and then they play games. So I thought that personally was an awesome idea because no one's driving drunk. Everybody's staying home. You get to sit back, relax, be comfortable, and enjoy the evening. So if you get a chance to do that with your teams, I totally recommend that. And then we'll do the fortune cookie next. So metric. So the fourth item in enterprise transformation, I think of metrics and the mechanics of, let's say you're doing Scrum, or the mechanics or Kanban or whatever you're doing with your teams. And so most of the places don't ever have any. They talk about metrics. They don't have to roll them up. They don't do it. So I, when I do my transformations, after I get the teams working in a mechanically way for Scrum, and when I say mechanically, and I'm talking about story point and stories, getting them to understand how the sizing goes, relative sizing, estimating, starting and stopping sprints. You'd be surprised how many organizations don't start and stop sprints. I think my last three engagements I've been into, there's teams that just never close a sprint. I'm like, well, how are you going to produce the metrics and share that out? Because you got like five sprints open. I mean, that's just whack, right? And then flagging delays. I had a conversation today with one of my Scrum Masters, and you know, maybe it's my project management thing, but I always think of a Scrum Master as someone who keeps the flow of the work going. People don't talk about that a lot, but a lot of times the Scrum Master's job is to make sure everything's moving and keeps moving and it's not stopping. I mean, they always talk about your job as a Scrum Master is to get rid of blockers. Well, if someone's not doing something or delayed to something, that is a blocker by definition. And it's amazing how they went, well, you know, it's just the way to do business. Think, no, you have to challenge that way of doing business to make it better so the work flows. That's where you get the process. That's where Scrum Masters also earn their pay. It's getting rid of the blockers, make sure things are moving, they're not waiting, and find ways to make it better. So that's one, and the other one's retrospectives, right? How do you get the team to do a process improvement? Those are the kind of, the three stool. One, are they doing the agile processes in a good way? I'm not saying correctly, because I don't think there is any correct way of doing it, but a good way. Two, are they doing retrospectives, and are they taking one item in the retrospective and making it better? And three, are they getting rid of blockers, keeping the flow moving of the team, keeping the work flowing, right? And the people going through the work. So with that information, then you can do your roll up metrics. Without the basics of it, it's very hard to do metrics. And a lot of people are like, oh, let's put metrics up right away. I'm like, there's no data in the system. I can build a metric chart and I can have it sit there, but until there's actually data in the system, there's nothing to view. So why do you start it? So it usually waits about a month into it when I'm coaching people, getting them the point, getting them to do it the right way, and then I do metrics. Some teams already exist, show the metrics, whether it be good or bad or ugly, it is what they are until I get in there and start coaching them. So those are some of the ideas that on the fourth phase is, one, get the mechanics going right, so then you can do roll-up metrics. And this is important because managers and teams need to see how they're doing. They always ask, how are we doing compared to other teams? They always ask this question. I mean, we shouldn't compare other teams. Even the teams ask, well, what's the other team doing, right? They just ask the question. It's just natural. It's going to happen. Having some good metrics, not that you would compare how many points a team does because everybody points differently, but are they going up? Are they steady? Are they all over the place? Where are they at as far as that goes? So those are the kind of things, and I talk about that. I think I do a whole show on metrics. The metrics I give, and I can do this really briefly because we still got time because we're doing it within a 15-minute time box. I do a burndown chart on my boards. I do anything that's flagged so that management, and I actually roll that up. I roll up three things. I roll up the burndown chart, and I roll up the flags. Those are two things I roll up to managers and group. And so they can see it in one board how their teams are doing. I look at tasks that are taking more than 2 days to be done. I look at stories that are taking more than 3 days, not done. The way I write it, it's not a question of being done. It's a question, when was the last time they were updated? So if I have a task or story that's in process, my expectation is that they're being updated every day with some update, right? Where a flag it is when there's no update, there's no communication between the other members, no documentation, no sharing information, the status of those stories or tasks within a day or two, and then that elevates to my boards. And one of the things key about that is I don't look at to do and I don't look at done. So the only data that's coming through is in process stuff, because I don't care if you haven't started or something that's at to do for 10 weeks. I don't really care. But when you start something, I expect it to be worked and get done. That's my philosophy and how I manage the flow, right? We talk about the flow. The other thing is look at like how many tasks have been done, what their states are, just an overall pie chart. And I do the same thing with stories, do an overall pie chart. How many are done? How many are there? The other things I do is I look at the work distribution. So I do a simple thing, and this is with every system out there. What I'm telling you now is what you do metrics for everything. And the last one, and I did draw that before. There is an image. Maybe I'll share it again. Where I put each person and how many tasks they have and what states they are, and then each person and how many stories, tasks, and everything, because tasks are the sub breakdowns of work, and a lot of times people are assigned both stories and tasks. So I usually do a chart that has both, depends on how the system is. And then the last things I put up, I put a velocity chart and I put a cumulative flow diagram for the sprint. So that's just a sprint thing. And that's the sprint level where they can see how the sprint's going. I like to take the three things I like to give management: the sprint burndown, the things that are flagged, and the velocity history chart. Those are the three key things that I put, and sometimes I put because managers are really far distant, like the common health, like how many days left in the sprint, so they can see the time-wise on there. So there's really four things that I would put on it, and a combined chart by team, and that's kind of what I do. So those are the metrics. Again, you have to get the teams working in a very mechanical way so they're populating the data, because you can build the metric charts you want, but if there's no data, it looks like crap. That's the truth. Okay. And one last thing about the data. I provide actionable data. I just don't create metrics to create metrics. I provide data that says you need to do something. Like the burn down chart's total vertical and then comes crashing down, then there's something we need to work on. If there's stuff flagged, that's stuff that the group, the managers can maybe help. And the velocity chart, is the team consistent? Are they up and down? Are they all over the place? What's going on, right? So this is the kind of things that I do for actionable data. Okay, so with that, I talked about the fear and agile, because it's just, I don't know where it comes from, but it always happens. So I said, if I'm going to talk about it, I might as well bring a little drink and toast to my neighbor who's getting his second COVID shot. I'm getting my second one on Monday. And my other neighbor just got one the other day. He got the new Johnson & Johnson one. So hopefully people are getting their shots and going to be healthy and things will be good. Until I don't know. I think there's a lot of anxiety about going back to the office versus working from home, but we'll see how it goes. And anyway, I got my shirt for Fortune Cookie Friday. I got my giant bag where we just bought some new ones because I ran out. So I'm going to open this bag. It's a triple sealed bag from a whole office full of Agile accountants. And I'm going to open this maybe. We'll see. There we go. Sorry, Betty, that woke you up. Did I wake you? Oh, she's like, I smell cookies. You and your nose. There's a dog back here behind me. Got your fortune cookie. I was happy for these. I like these better than the ones in the box. So this is Fortune Cookie Friday. We open a fortune cookie. We find out what the Agile accountants have to say. And we see how this fortune applies to what we're doing. Of course, she's rolling over towards the cookies. I got some room now. Now you're not behind me, totally. There is a dog back there. It's not the drink. What? Do you want me to show everybody you? Come here. Come here. It's a big dog. There you go. She's like, I smell a cookie. This dog's nose gets her more trouble than anything else on the planet, right? Mm-hmm. So we got floppy ears. Ooh, floppy ear. All right, so let's open the cookie. Let's see what the cookie has to say. Fortune Cookie Friday. And there is a fortune in it. There is one in there somewhere. And this is sealed by Agile Accountants. And they tell us something that we're supposed to then relate to Agile or the show or what we talk about. And maybe I should move my calendar off here in case it's on top of the microphone or something. Okay, so here's the fortune. This is actually pretty good. This is very agile. This is very scrum-like. This is very iterative. The road to success is always under construction. Check that out. The road to success is always under construction. Let me see. How can I relate that to agile? Because we're always working on stuff with the client, right? The idea is that we don't have no fixed plan. We don't have a specification. We work on the specification together. We collaborate. So therefore, we're always under construction. So the idea is that you provide some product for your client to use. They give you feedback, and you're always iterating on that product. So this is so agile. This is ridiculous. So the road to success is always under construction. So in the Agile world, we don't assume we have everything answered. We don't assume we have the most perfect product because we know it's always under construction. We know there's always some new facet. We're going to provide that tool or product to our customer. And the customer is going to like, that's really awesome. Can you do this too? Because we're never going to figure that, and we're always under construction. Kind of like the highway systems here in Philadelphia. 95 is under construction for years. I don't think they'll ever stop. I think they just go through the highway and then come back a loop around and redo it again. Just me. It just seems like a trend. So with that, happy Friday. Happy – what are you doing, goofy dog? Happy Friday evening, the late night edition. It's almost midnight here in Philadelphia, and I want to wish you all healthy and happy life and happy scrumming. With that, take care. We'll see you later. Give us a thumbs up if you like the show. Ring the bell so you know when we go on air again. And again, I wish you all happiness and good luck and happy fortune cookies. And always remember, the road is always under construction. The road to success is always under construction. So true. Just like in Agile and Scrum, it's always under construction. We're never done. Take care. Goodbye. Have a good night. See you tomorrow. And see ya.